FM 97.3, the Motivational Monday. Just listen to Zil Fly Like an Eagle. Before that, Leave Dead Lighthouse Family. Taiwo, you are in the studio with me. We have a guest as well, MTN Business Half Hour. It is, as always, and you know the way it is, we always have interesting people telling us what they're doing. Good morning, Taiwo.
Good morning, Bukola. How are you today? How was your weekend?
Fine, thank you. Lagos happened to you today, right?
Oh, yeah. I
mean, hello.
One of those things. I don't know what happened. Maybe school just resumed full blown this morning and, you know, so it was a nightmare.
Traffic was crazy.
Yes, it was. It was. Good morning, Lagos. This is, today's the 6th of April.
Yes, it is.
And welcome to the Business Half Hour edition for today, powered by Naira Metrics. I have a guest here in the studio. We're still continuing from our what we were discussing last week, which is around healthcare and how and the role technology plays, opportunities for small businesses. So I have an entrepreneur in here this morning. We'll be speaking with him. He's dabbled into that space. He'll share his experiences, tell us some of the opportunities that are in there, what took him to go into that field in the first instance, and generally, you know, so I mean, what I would say is just pay attention. Health is wealth, like they say. I know we're all going about our daily hustle, but we also need to be concerned about our health and the impact it has on our general well-being and those we love. In our usual fashion, he will introduce himself and tell us what he does.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Ugo Nwokoro. I am one of the founders of Swift Medispark. So we're an EMR company. We provide software for hospitals to manage their operations.
So what's EMR, if you could break that down for us?
It means electronic medical records. So it helps hospitals basically digitize all their processes. So rather than...
From what to what? Give us an example.
Right from the front desk to the doctor's table. Rather than you walk into the hospital and they pull out a paper file for you, everything goes on the system. So the patient records are searched on the system. Doctors do their consultation, prescriptions, everything on the computer, and it's sent from department to department without any need for any paper files.
So even when you're seeing the doctor, the case files, all of that is just...
Does not exist, yes.
Okay, that's good. What has been your experience so far?
That's a very broad question. Yeah, it's an interesting market, you know, Nigeria. Because a lot of hospitals don't necessarily see
the need for it,
exactly. But, you know, outside the country, in the Western world, it's so much more common everywhere. You know, it's ubiquitous. But here is still a challenge. So we have to go through a learning curve. We're trying to help people understand why it's so important. The same way I'm explaining these things to you now, I have to explain this to MDs, doctors, you know, and medical practitioners. Yeah. So it's a bit of a challenge. Yeah.
So I understand digitizing the process. What about some of the records, the historical records? Do you also do that?
Oh, yes. So everything the hospital has ever had can be put on the system as well, and everything going forward. So, I mean, they can do this in so many ways. They could either, you know, scan everything and then upload all that, or they can summarize and type everything in. You know, it really depends on how they wish to go by.
I'll ask you an interesting question. How do you read the doctor's handwritings?
So that's one of the benefits of our software. We get rid of doctor's handwritings completely. Oh, because
I can never make it out.
I'm telling you. There's a statistic out there that about, I can't remember the figure, about 90,000 or something. Something ridiculous. Medical errors a year, deaths and all that occur because of doctors' poor handwriting, you know. So we're in the game to change that.
What brought you into this? I mean, it's an interesting field, but what brought you into it?
Also, I'm from a medical family.
But you're not a doctor.
I'm not a doctor.
You were the renegade one.
I was a rebel.
Okay.
So my father was a doctor. My sister is a doctor. My two sisters are doctors.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been involved in healthcare for a very long time. I've seen all the challenges as well. And I've had a few stints in working in healthcare myself. Of course, not on the medical side, but on the more administrative
side.
So I've seen the problems that they face. I've worked outside the country and in the country as well. So I can see the difference and the, you know, the big gap that is there to be filled. And I feel, me and my founders as well, feel that this is a field that really needs to be taken care of.
I can be quite old-fashioned, right? I'm one of those people that think that at some, you can't totally eradicate hard copy. Because... You know, so you, technology could go wrong. Something could go wrong with the system.
Of course,
and all
yes.
That. So, what are you now doing that situation?
Okay,
I have access to information for patients.
Okay, so let's look at it this way. The same thing you just said is the same thing that the guys at Kodak were seen before Instagram came around. And now Kodak almost doesn't exist anymore. You know, so yes, technology has its flaws, so does paper. But when you look at the pros and cons of having, you're going either way, technology wins, I mean, 90% of the time. If you're the fear of losing your data, there's backups, always going to be backups. If you can't store your information in one place and think you're safe, you'll store in multiple places, you store on the cloud as well, and you'll also, you know, have some securities and encryption in place to make sure things are safe. So yeah, systems do fail. The same way you have, when they take light, you have a generator. It's the same way when your server goes down, you have a backup server. So those things fix these problems.
What's the adoption rate? What has it been like for you? I mean, what's your customer base?
Okay, so I wouldn't want to give you our metrics because my competitors can will hear me. But
okay,
yeah, we do measure adoption. We make sure it's more than 20% of the hospitals that we approach and discuss wish to adopt the software. At the moment, actually, everybody wants it. Every hospital you speak to.
What are their challenges? Because I was speaking to a chief medical director of my children's hospital 2 years ago. And one of the things he was telling me was that, I mean, look, these things, investing in all this technology and so on and so forth, it's going to cost them money. I mean, they've improved now, beyond, in that sense. And he said that they were actually mandated at some point, or that every 2 weeks they actually submit reports of case notes
at least once a month
to local government and stuff.
Yeah.
The question is, what happens to all that data? Because again, here they are. You're helping them digitize their processes and documents and so on and so forth there. But even at the regulatory level, where it's actually even more crucial.
Exactly.
You know,
the data isn't really properly gathered.
Exactly.
Yes.
So what's your own answer to that? Are you looking to tackle that as well?
Yes. So that's one of the main goals, the future goals of our organization, because as many, many more hospitals begin to adopt electronic medical records, it will be much, much easier for the government to gather necessary data for nationwide health statistics. At the moment, it's not that possible. And to be honest, Ministry of Health doesn't seem very, very much interested, but sometimes there are specific
projects.
Even at
the state level?
At the state level, yes. Like I said, specific projects are what calls for this data. For example, right now, state governments are rolling out health insurance schemes on every level. So they require a lot of health data of what's going on to be able to design and, you know, they build their schemes. But these hospitals don't really have this information for them, and they haven't been gathering this for a while. But hospitals that have had electronic medical records for a while are able to do it. You know, so that's where we are right now.
So you're doing this at the hospitals, for the hospitals.
Yeah.
The government or the regulators haven't sort of come on board yet.
Yeah.
Do you have any analytics, any reporting, how do you generate insight? Because beyond just documenting or digitizing the processes as well, as a chief medical director, I mean, just saying, I'm not a doctor, but I'm just saying the kind of things I would want to know is, okay, how many cases of let's say malaria, even though they treat you for malaria in every situation, but how many cases of malaria have we had over a period of 6 months? You know?
Exactly.
What strains of malaria, you know, what kind of medication worked for each strain?
So one thing we always say when we're trying to sell the software to people is to tell them that the software will know your hospital better than you. I'm saying if you need to make any decision on a administrative level, on ownership level, go to the software, because it will tell you, like you said, how many cases of malaria you've had a month. How many? It'll even tell you which of your doctors are performing the most, which of your doctors see the most patients, which drug is being prescribed the most, so you know where to stock, what to stock and what not to stock. It'll also tell you what times of the day as your practice most busy. Should I have more doctors coming in the morning? Should I have them coming in the evening? All that data is being gathered continuously.
And what kind of services are being requested
exactly.
by patients a bit more, so you
exactly.
know what kind of specialists and so on and so forth.
To have in your facility as well. Yeah, what surgeries do you do? Or,
but on the patient side, so let's say I don't want to keep going to the hospital to find out. Let's say I just wanted to plug in and just maybe find out and say, over the past 6 months, you know, I visited the hospital 10 times.
Yes.
I want to see something that...
Yes. So what you're talking about analysis. The patient portal.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So we don't offer a patient portal yet.
Okay.
So that's one of our long-term goals as well. At the moment, the interest on the patient end isn't as strong as it is on the hospital end. You know, patients, yes, we do have...
Because the patients are likely not going to pay.
Exactly. So that's an interest.
The motivation is what you should say. No, interest.
Interest and demand is based on money, yes. They won't want to pay for those services.
Okay.
But then again, these are services that the hospital can pay for. And then the hospital can say, okay, all my patients have access to my website and you can check your data there. And we can offer that service. So with time, we believe in the future that is something that will happen as more hospitals begin to adopt electronic medical record.
So how did you start this? I mean, did you raise funding for it? Was it from your savings? Was it from family and friends? Or, I mean, did you go groveling, kneeling down and begging somebody? Or did you bootstrap it? Were you doing some other business before and said, look?
That's the life of an entrepreneur. So what we've done several types of funding. At the moment, we haven't had any major injection of funds from external sources. So most of it is still, founders' own money. So yes, all of us we're three founders in the business. I'm a business person and the other two are programmers.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're the guys really responsible for all this. I just talk and sell the stuff.
Okay.
But so all of us have had side jobs as well. In fact, one of us is a medical doctor himself. He's a gynecologist.
And also a programmer.
Yeah, also a programmer.
Okay.
He's the smartest person in the world I know. Doctor, if you're listening, Dr. Fed, if you're listening, shout out.
Brilliant. I'd like to meet him. Why didn't you bring him?
Oh no, he's in Abuja at the moment. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, he's running our Abuja office.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. So he's still practicing.
You know how many locations?
Just two locations at the moment.
Okay.
So one in Abuja, one in Lagos.
Okay.
But we're hoping to open one in Port Harcourt soon.
Okay.
By the grace of God.
I guess from doctor's angle, by the time he talks about it and he's in the business, he would be able to actually convince people better than maybe if Ugo just goes and Ugo is talking, but he's in the system.
He's actually meant to be a medical doctor. He just ran away.
I'm meant to be.
His father's a medical doctor. His two sisters are medical doctors.
Exactly.
Well, he followed his heart.
As I always say, I'm impacting healthcare in a different way.
Yeah.
From a different angle.
And I like it from that angle, really, because information is key. You need to store your data and that helps with follow up and all that. So
exactly, and it makes hospitals a lot more reliable.
But are you looking to raise funding?
Oh yes, very soon. So what? I'm an entrepreneur, so I've done quite a few businesses. So from experience, what I've learned is, in order to raise funding the way you want to, you know, to have be the one holding the cards in your hand, you have to build value first.
Okay.
So you have to build a module with an MVP. MVP, like a minimum viable product.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you start with MVP and then you prove that the business works, prove that your model works, prove that you can gain customers at a certain rate and, you know.
Essentially, show traction.
Show traction, exactly.
So how many people investors will be happy? How many hospitals have embraced you so far?
Okay. So then again, this is another metric I kind of want to give out because of my competitors are listening.
But what's the competitive landscape like? How many businesses, how many
are doing this?
How many, of such businesses?
Okay, so most of our competitors are foreign companies. Indian businesses, Lebanese businesses are coming to Nigeria. But there are some local companies that are doing quite well as well, but they're not many.
What's the hospital number? What's the number of hospitals we have in Nigeria?
I
know you can't be exact.
It can't be exact, exactly.
Yeah,
so the last report we had from Farm Access Group was in 2015.
Okay.
And they estimated about 24,000 hospitals.
All over the country.
In the whole of Nigeria, 24,000.
Just hospitals or clinics and hospitals?
Combined, yeah.
Wow.
But we all know that number is ridiculously low.
Because...
Exactly, because in Surulere alone, where I live, there's 400 hospitals. That's one local government in Lagos. So it's
400 hospitals
in Surulere alone, yes.
Really?
Yeah. So we know that this data isn't correct and there's a lot more. And also, this also tells us that 60% of these hospitals are private hospitals.
Mm.
So that's why most of our market is in the private sector.
Any link with the HMOs?
Yes. So, okay, that's another goal that's coming up very soon. What we want to do is to be able to, as hospitals prepare their bills, because the system automatically creates bills for you. Mm. You don't have to have a large-scale billing team. So once the bills are ready at the hospital, there should be a button. You just click send and it goes straight to the HMO. So we're trying to solidify these relationships with health management organizations so that they can, speak to hospitals seamlessly through us.
What's been your biggest challenge so far? One major challenge.
Oh, wow. there's so many things I could come up with when you ask that question.
Okay, give me three.
Adoption is one. Understanding, proving the proving to doctors that something is important and getting them to adopt it. A major problem is price, you know.
How expensive is it? How price-wise?
It's a massive range because small hospitals will pay a lot less than big hospitals. So we had customers that have gone digital for as little as 100,000, and some people that have paid tens of millions. So it really varies. Mm. So, you know, that price point is a difficult one.
What's the pricing structure like? Is it based on user, the number of patient size?
Oh, no. We try not to do that because that pushes businesses away.
Or do you just license them?
We just license software. You pay a certain fee, monthly or yearly or quarterly if you want, and then you have full access to software.
Obviously, it requires internet.
No, it doesn't. That's one of our selling points. We don't require internet. So a lot of our foreign competitors require internet connection. But we know that in our country, you can't really rely 100% on.
Well, you're going to have to get there someday because at some point.
Oh yes, so we do. The situation.
Yes, so one of our main business, our points of differentiation, I'll call it, is accessibility. We make going digital more accessible for as many hospitals as possible. One is by bringing the price down, and two is by making, you know, not relying on things like internet and. Things that might.
Well, it does have internet capability.
It does have, of course. So we have clients that are fully cloud based, so they store everything on the cloud, and then most of our clients though are local. They save the software locally in their hospitals and access it on their local network. So it really depends how you want it deployed. You can do both.
This is 2019. We're already in the month of May. What's your outlook for this year?
For the rest of the year, so. We're in second quarter now, right? If I'm correct.
Yes, we are.
Yes, all right. So it's just scale. So we've gone back past that stage of proving the model. We made sure it works. We've gotten good traction, good client base. It's just getting bigger and bigger. More hospitals, more countries, more customers. That's the goal.
So what would you say to somebody who is about to embark on this entrepreneurial journey?
Wow, the first thing I would say is do your research. Do your research, because the entrepreneurial bug that people catch is exciting. It makes you, you know, you can't sleep, you can't stop thinking about it. You're in the shower, you're thinking about business all the time, you're thinking about all this new idea that I have, you know, and that's the first thing that comes, the idea. So when you have an idea you think would work, just sit down. Take a day off from work, if you can, sit down, or a weekend, and do your research. Google everything about that business. Find out who else is doing it. Find out if they're making money. What models are they using? How are they making money? Who is paying? Where is their customer base? What demographics are they focused on? Try and make sure that business is actually viable before you jump in. Because I myself have jumped into several businesses that didn't work. And jumped out quickly. I've gotten better at jumping out. Yes, passion. That's the thing about being an entrepreneur. You're driven by passion first, you know, not necessarily logic. So, once you have your passion, be logical, do your research before you jump in. That's what I'd say.
So we talk about the rate at which doctors are just leaving the country, 18 doctors a week or something like that.
It's ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah, so what do you have to say about that? And then with the recent comments alluded to the Minister of Labor and Productivity.
Yes.
Even though I read what he wrote and... I understand why it's easy to think that that's what he said, but literally that wasn't actually
what he said.
But okay. Again, the rate of immigration for doctors.
It's terrible because Nigerian doctors are very, very talented. I mean, the people I've met know things that they are brave and they know things that a lot of doctors outside the country don't know. And I've experienced doctors on both ends. So I think it's bad that doctors are leaving, even though, yes, we do have quite a lot of talent here. So it might seem to us like it's not that much of a problem, but it is. I think Nigeria just needs to prioritize healthcare more. The current budget for healthcare in Nigeria is so little in comparison to the 200 million people that live here, right? You know, they say that the US budget on healthcare is bigger than the entire budget for Nigeria.
Yeah, our budget is I think sub 500 billion or about 500 billion thereabouts. So we have subsidy, which is about 700 billion for last year.
Oh, wow.
Education was 600 and something billion. Defense was 500 and something billion. And healthcare was about I think below 400 or 500 billion thereabouts.
Yeah. The figure you should look at, what percentage of the total budget was healthcare?
So do you think there should be some sort of collaboration?
Oh, yeah, far less than 10%.
Do you think there should be some collaboration between the government and the private sector?
Oh, yes, yes. In fact, I was at a conference recently that we discussed this. They call it PPP. Mm. I think public-private partnership. Yeah. So it's a major thing that can drive improvement in healthcare services in Nigeria. If government is willing to trust the private sector, and the other way around, if the private sector is willing to trust government and pull money together to do things, the power in what the private sector can do is a lot. But I think we need to stop focusing on building mega hospitals, because then that's what we do now. You see these massive, beautiful hospitals.
So health centers would do, you're saying. So in certain areas, health centers, clinics.
Clinics to spread it out. You know?
Communities.
I mean, spread over the country. Yeah, because where the population is dense is in much more rural areas. But these mega hospitals are being set up in beautiful cities like here in Via, here in Ikoyi and Lekki and
so
Via. You know,
the hinterlands. That is where
exactly. That's where those are the people
But they'll make an argument. The proprietors of those hospitals or clinics or the health services will make an argument and say, look, these people can't afford my services, and that's the truth. So. We can't also run away from that. So again, it goes back to people's earning power and the state of the economy in itself.
Exactly.
So there's a much larger,
So what we're trying to drive at is universal health coverage. Okay. So there are two ways we can achieve this in Nigeria. One is health insurance. Health insurance hasn't been adopted as much as it should be. I think it's less than 2%. I think it's at 4% or something of people actually have health insurance in Nigeria. So now the government is trying to get each state to roll out health insurance schemes so that it can penetrate a lot more. If we can get that figure up to what Ghana is doing, I think Ghana is about 20% or something. If many more people can adopt this, you will see that health insurance can pay for most of it. And then secondly, this is something that Dr. Ola of Flying Doctor said at that people.
Ola Rekurin.
So she talked about super specialty hospitals. Nigeria keeps trying to copy the US model of healthcare, where you have big hospitals that do a lot. But in India, they have similar challenges to what we have in Nigeria. But what they have done is focus on super specialty hospitals. I'm talking about hospitals that do one thing very well. So for example, like cranial neurosurgery. Okay. So they have one clinic set up for that alone. Meaning that compared to how doctors do today, where you can have a neurosurgeon who does 5 cranial neurosurgeries a month and he's being paid 1 million naira a month or something, you can have in that kind of clinic, you can do 5 a day at the same price, because they are pooling all those cases into one place. So they are significantly driving the cost of doing something so complex down. So
this brings me to a point, and it's an argument that has been made. Is it a must that medical doctors must be the one that run those practices? Is it a must that a medical doctor must be the minister of health?
Oh, no.
So, because I think that there's a difference between being a medical doctor. That's a technical skill set. I mean, at that point, yes, a technical. But you need people who understand the business of running hospitals. It's different from the business of from actually treating patients.
Exactly. Someone who understands economics as well.
Yeah, so
dealing with national healthcare is an
economic
problem. I personally think
that there are people who are best suited to run our healthcare, and they don't necessarily have to be medical doctors.
Yeah. So this is the problem I face constantly. I go to hospitals and I'm trying to discuss this idea with them, how they should embrace this technology. And that's the one thing I hear all the time. Ah, but you're not a doctor, so you don't understand. But the truth is,
that mindset needs to be
honestly. It really needs to change. If more hospitals in Nigeria are being run by non-doctors, we'll have a lot better facility, much more improvements
now
in healthcare delivery.
Leave the doctors to deal with the patients and let the administration
do the business of the
thing. I think even at the regulatory level, at the government level, we need to look at it. Our commissioners for health don't necessarily have to be medical doctors. Minister for health doesn't have to be a medical doctor. You know, PAMSEC and Ministry of Health doesn't have to be a medical doctor.
You're just looking for progressives, for thinking people who have an idea of what
and understand what the roadmap is, so they can chart a proper course, you know, and
I mean, they have to have an understanding of healthcare, how healthcare services are delivered. But there are courses to help you do that.
Public administration courses and healthcare.
So there's courses that you can do 1 year,
public
2 years, and then
delivery. So, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be that you're a medical doctor. I think we can sit here and continue discussing this.
I can discuss it for hours.
Exactly. So, but we need to end here. Thank you very much. for coming.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure. You're welcome.
Pleasure having you here.
The renegade.
Yeah. the medical doctor who escaped.
But he's impacting his life.
He's come back the other way. You couldn't run away eventually. This has been today's edition of Business Half Hour in partnership with Naira Metrics.
Thank you very much, Igor.
It's an absolute pleasure.